Now we are up to Siman Tuf Lamed Chet, which is on page 18. Now, on one level, this whole Siman seems kind of odd because it is sociological framework or background, this is so foreign to us, but yet all you have to do is substitute for the word achbar, which is a rodent, katan or tinok, which is a baby. And why do I say this as an introduction? Because this siman is no less significant in contemporary life than it was back in the day when they had rodents, because although we don't have rodents in general, although that is also a theoretical possibility today, but we do have little children, and little children will take chametz and they'll crumble it and they'll do whatever they have to do with it, and therefore this becomes relevant in our time as well. So let's read the Mechaber.
Also, it's this sort of stuff that, you know, when you read the Gemara, I'm thinking that there's so many other prohibitions relating to chametz besides achila.
Right. Well, and we're talking here about bedika. These are the
laws of bedika. I realize.
Right.
Achbar
shenichnas lebayis baduk. You've already done your bedika. And bedika, from a halachic perspective, is always described as a tircha. You know, it's a great hassle, it's an undertaking, it requires a lot of work. It's not just putting out 10 pieces and finding them. That's not real bedika. And now, lo and behold, after you check the house, a mouse came along and took chametz, the keeper befiv, he's got a piece of a loaf of bread in his mouth, the nichnas achrov. So you run after the mouse, you know, this is like a scene from Dr. Seuss, you know, you're running after this mouse in the house. And umotza perurim, and he finds crumbs. Is it enough for him to assume that whatever was the bulk, so to speak, of this loaf of bread was eaten by the rodent, and what was left is the crumbs, and he cleaned up the crumbs? And here the Mechaber throws a fastball, and he says no. I have to surprise you. Afilu kidei kol akikar, even if the volume of pirurim is such that if you join together all the pirurim, you would still, and you would have the volume of the size of the full loaf of bread that you saw the rodent come into the house with, then at this point I should be able to assume that the rodent just broke up the chametz, the kikar, into crumbles, into crumbs, into perurim. And here we take a look on page 19. Tzarech lachzor v'livdok habayis. He needs a second bedika. This is a tremendous chum. This is requiring a second repeat performance of the bedika. Achar akikar shehichnis. And why is that so? So here the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, which is being quoted here by the Mechaber, gives us a psychology lesson in the psychology of mice, and that is Ein Darko Shel Achbar Lefarer. A mouse will usually take the chametz, and either he'll eat it as a whole, or he'll store it away in his little mouse hole, mouse cove. And therefore, when I see these pirurim, I have to assume, hani pirurim mi alma, so there's no proof to indicate that these crumbs that I find are indeed the kikar that the mouse went into. Velo meoso akikar. So if the pirurim are not a replacement, so to speak, of the kikar, then there's another kikar here, and that's the kikar that the achbar took in, and we haven't found it. We got to look and search and find it. Now, we're going to have a long discussion later on. What happens if he does a bedika, and midway through the bedika he finds a kikar? Does he have a right to assume that that kikar is the one that the achbar took in? I mean, it doesn't have a name on it. You know, it's not blue with white polka dots. You know, in Masechta Bava Metzia, we have a perek called Leil Metzias. And if you claim ownership on a lost item that I found, you have to give me a siman. And you, if you tell me it was blue with white polka dots, that's a pretty good siman. In the case of chametz, it's hardly logical to assume that he has a siman on the kikar, that this is the same kikar that the akhbar took in. So it's unclear at this point, before we see the Mishnah Bura, what does it mean when it says Sarach Lachzor V'Livdok Habayis Achar HaKikar Sheichnis, as if to say to identify and to discover and identify that is the piece that the mouse took in. I mean, how would you know such a thing? And that's what we're going to have to see in the commentaries here. But you know, once we're reading the Mechaber, let's read a little bit weiter in the Mechaber. He says, Aval im tinok nichnas labayis. Here's the advantage of a child over a rodent. The house was checked already for chametz. You finish your bedika. Now you see a tinok carrying chametz in the house. Kikar biyodav nichnas akrav. Now you follow the child, and what's a pirurim? What you find is crumbs. In such a case, einot sarich. He's relieved of his responsibility for a repeat or a second bedika. Why? We assume that the child ate the bread. And as the child was eating this kikar of lechem, it left certain crumbs which you found on the floor. So now you have two, you have A plus B. You have the crumbs that you found, and the balance, the remaining part of this kika, we assume that's called cheskoso, she'acholo, was eaten by the child. So there's no more chametz in the house. Why? Because you did a bedika, you cleaned out all the chametz, the halacha validates and relies on the fact that there's no chametz in the house. Now you see a child taking chametz into the house. Well, once you find a perurim, you can assume that the house is still chametz free, because there were part of this kika was eaten by the child, and these are the pirurim that the child left behind. Shederach hatinok lefarer, because in the psychology of children, we assume that they leave crumbs behind, and whatever you don't find in the crumbs, we have a right to attribute to the achila of the tinok, that the tinok cheskoso shachol. Now there's nothing left of this kika, right? Because
you're presuming what you see from the child is. He would have eaten everything,
except for the pirurim. You found the pirurim.
You found them. Whereas so therefore, the mouse, you don't know.
Well, in the mouse's case, we know that ein darko shel achbar lefarer. So if you found pirurim, that's not the piece that the achbar took in, and we don't know that the achbar devoured or consumed that piece that it took in. You have to now do a bedika to find that piece. Again, how do you find that piece? I don't know. That's what I asked you before. Is it blue with white polka dots? We'll get to that later.
Okay.
But here's the fundamental difference, which is formulated by the Mechaber, between the case A, where the achbar went into the house with chametz after your bedika, and case B, where the child went into your house with chametz after your bedika. In the case of the child, we can assume the child would eat the chametz. Whatever you find is pirurim, because darko shel tinok lefarer. And now you have A plus B. You have A, the chametz that was eaten by the child, and B, you have the pirurim which you found, and therefore there's nothing left to the original piece that went into your house. There's no need for repeat bedika. However, at this point, the Mechaber quotes the Shita of the Ran, Yesh Omrim She'em Ein Ba Pirurim Kidei Kol HaKipar Kikar Tzorech Lachzor V'Livdok. According to the Chumra of the Ran, it's not enough to find Pirurim and assume that the balance, the rest of the Kikar, was eaten by the child. We have to be concerned with the possibility that the child never consumed the Kikar. It's hidden somewhere and you've got to go find it. Because the pirurim are less than the volume of the kikar. Now, if you found pirurim, which equal to the volume of the kikar, everybody agrees in that case there's no need for a repeat bedika. But since you found pirurim, and now you want to assume that the rest of the kikar was eaten by the tinok, according to the Ran, you have no right to make that assumption, and therefore since the crumbs are less than the volume of the kikar, where is that kikar? You cannot assume, you have no right to assume that the child consumed the kikar. So the machlokas here, between the first opinion, lekula, and the second opinion of the Ran lechumra, revolves around whether we have a chazaka that the child ate the bread. If the volume of the crumbs would equal to the volume of the bread, then we can assume, since derech hatinok lefire, that this is the bread, these are the remnants of the bread that was taken in by the tinok, and there's no need for repeat paduka. However,
where do you see the Ran being quoted?
The Ran is the Yesh Omrim. I'm just telling you for your own edification that the Yesh Omrim is the Ran.
Okay.
You don't have to believe me.
Okay. Okay.
Well, you have to look in the Be'er HaGolah, which is on the top left. That's where I got it from. But the names here are not so critical. If you call it the Yesh Omrim, that would be okay. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an insight that the Yesh Omrim here is the Ran. But I could have omitted that from our discussion and nothing would have been lost. Just that for myself, and maybe for you as well, you like to know who are these anonymous Yesh Omrim, and in this case it's the Ran. There seems to be an indication that Tosus agrees with the Ran, and the Chumra here is that we're not going to rely on what's called Cheskas HaTinok Shacholo, that we assume that the Tinok ate up the Chometz. That's not a fair assumption. We don't know for sure, and therefore we have to be suspicious that maybe the Tinok took the Kikar, and with the exception of these few crumbs, it hid the kikar somewhere. We don't know exactly where. You know, children have the tendency of going, you know, they like to explore. And therefore we have to find that kikar. Okay, now we want to learn the Mishnah Berurah. So we go back to page 18. And we're looking at Sif Katan Aleph. The kikar befiv. Here the Mishnah Berurah quotes a number of achronim. Again, if you're interested in the names, again, I don't have to confuse you with the names, but the Bach lived almost 5 centuries ago. So he's really quoting a very early and reliable source that afilu im hoya kikar katan sheyuchal achbor liochlo, it's small enough, this piece of bread in the mouth of the achbor, that he could have very well eaten the entire piece. And not only that, I'll add another kula here, another siva lekula, namely afilu bital chametz. He himself was mevatel his chametz. Nevertheless, afilu hachi, we still have to require bedika, repeat bedika. Afilu hachi lo talita lekula mitam sveka drabbanon. And now the question is, what happened to the principle called sveka drabbanon lekula? I don't know if the Achbar completely consumed this small piece of bread or did not consume the small piece of bread and he hid it somewhere. Why don't I apply the principle of Safik Drabbanon Lekula, meaning once he did his bittul, on a Doraisa level, bittul Baal Masagi, the Torah relies on bittul, he completely protects himself from any violation of the Torah law. Now the enterprise of Bedika is Drabbanon, because we're afraid that he might have chametz laying around and he might come to eat it. Why don't we apply the principle of Safik Drabbanon Lekula? After all, he did his bittul, reducing the chiyuv of bedika to a drabbanon. On a drabbanon level, we have reason to raise a very valid possibility that the achbar consumed this piece of bread. Not only that, the piece of bread is quite small, meaning this. You know, there's reason to believe that the achbar would not have hidden, you know, not have stashed it away for a future rainy day, but rather ate it immediately because it's so small. But we're not going to apply the principle of safek derabbanan lekula. Why? Zakti Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Bach. Mishum de keva de adinon bevadai shah achbar gorar hachomets lefanenu. There's no question in our minds that the chametz went into the house. We saw eyewitness news. 7 o'clock eyewitness news. We saw the achbar going into the house. Now you want to say, well, that chametz was consumed. That's called safek motzim ivei vadai. Our principle is ein safek motzim ivei vadai. Meaning we have a vadai. We know that this chametz in the house. We have a safek that says maybe the chametz was eaten. We don't apply suffix in that case. Suffix the Rabbanon Lekula means that from beginning to end, from A to Z, it's a suffix. But if I started with a vadai, and now I want to remove that vadai, because after the chametz went in, it was removed, it was consumed, that's already a suffix, which cannot undermine a vadai. Once the chametz went in, and we saw the achbar take the chametz in, we know that the bias has chametz in it. And therefore, it's obligated in Bedika. Now you want to come along and say and establish, well, this achbar ate up the chametz. That's already a suffix. Who can testify? Who can take an oath on a Sefer Torah, a Shmur Doraisa, that the achbar actually ate up the chametz? No one could swear on a stack of Bibles that this definite assumption, we have certainty beyond a doubt, that the achbar ate the chametz. Once we started with a vada, because we saw the chametz go in, then the bias needs bedika. Your original bedika no longer holds water, because now we see that chametz went in, so we have a vada. You want to tell me, well, maybe the animal ate up the chametz? We don't know. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. And that's called a vadai. When do we apply the principle of suffix to Rabbanu Lekula? That's only when it's a suffix. It's mamish a suffix. I don't know. I don't know if this piece of bread is asur or mutter. But if I know that there's a chametz, definite chametz that went into the house, now you want to say the chametz is no longer, it's gishtarben, it was consumed, how do you know such a thing? Lu yitzu yad certainty. Let's say, for example, you had a proof that would indicate that the animal certainly ate up the chametz. Let's say, for example, if the crumbs would be equal to the volume of the original piece of meat, the original piece of bread. Maybe that would be a certainty. Maybe that would be a vada. But in this case, where we don't have the piece of chametz, and we don't know why we don't have the piece of chametz, it's possible because the rodent ate up the chametz. Well, it's also possible that the rodent did not eat up the chametz, and therefore, ein safek motzi mideva. Now, I would add another point over here to our discussion, and that is that Bedikas Chametz is not your classical Durabbanan. Not your classic Durabbanan. How do I know the Bedikas Chametz is different? The Rabbanan said, check for Chametz. Why did they say that? Do I know that this Chametz did? My wife did a good spring cleaning. I don't know that this Chametz did. The Rabbanan said, you know what? There's a possibility that this Chametz did. I want you to be certain that there's no chametz. So the very essence, the kishkes of this takon, of this derabbanan of bedika, requires certainty. The whole goal and the agenda here is to be absolutely certain that there's no chametz there. Because we started with this suffix to begin with, and yet the rabbanan said, maybe there's chametz there. Go ahead and do your bedika. Convince yourself beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's no chametz there. Oh, if the entire enterprise of Bedikas Chometz as a Drabbana was established on Safek, then the halacha is that you cannot apply Safek to Rabbanu Lekula, because the mitzvah of Bedika has to establish a vada. So you're telling me now, well, the Achbar ate up this small piece of Chometz. How do you know that? And if you don't know it, then you haven't accomplished the mitzvah of Bedika, because the mitzvah of Bedika and the goal thereof is to establish certainly that there's no Chometz in there. Now we look at the Mishnah Berurah number base, and he says the following: Umatza pirurit. He found pirurit. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, "Well, okay, he found pirurit, but is this the remnants? Are these the remnants of the original piece of bread that the akra took in?" And here we have a principle called Ein Darko Shel Akra Lefaret. We don't think that in the psychology of a rodent, it makes these crumbs. And therefore, you have no reason to assume that these are the crumbs of the kikar that was brought in by the akra, because the akra doesn't make crumbs, says the Mishnah Berurah. Aval imatza kikar shalem. We finally have a kula from the Mishnah Berurah. I'm so excited. We have a leniency in the Mishnah Berurah. This is somewhat rare. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you found a full kikar. Ein tzarech bedika. You don't need a second check. Why? The Talina, we assume, shezeu akikar shehichnes ha'achbar. Now again, did you see that the kikar was black with white polka dots, and that's what you find now? No. There's no identifying mark that would indicate that this is the kikar the achbar took in, but nevertheless, you have a right to assume that this is the kikar. Why? Because you did your bedika. And if you did bedika, and there's one piece of chametz that entered into the house after your bedikah, find one piece of chametz. If you can locate one piece of chametz with that discovery, you can bench gomel. You can celebrate, and even on a schnapps, because it's only the night of the 14th, and even if the schnapps is covered, go ahead and celebrate, because we have a right to assume that if you found one piece of bread, that's the piece that the Akbar took in. And why is that so? Because Bedika is the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan is saying that if you did your Bedika, you fulfilled your, you know, you were a good Samaritan, you played by the rules of the game, you were very obedient, and now there's no chametz in the house. You saw a chametz go in? Find a piece of chametz. You find one piece of chametz, there's no reason to assume that there are other pieces of chametz. Now, you and I would have said, well, if one rodent took it in and you saw it, maybe there are other rodents. You know, maybe it has a whole clan. You know, they're all cousins. And they all brought in chametz. And maybe there's chametz now that was brought in. I don't have to assume so. I've created a brand new chazok, an establishment of the bias as a bias product. My only headache is, what about that one piece? Let's see if I can find one piece of chametz. If I find one piece of chametz, I can attribute, I can assume that piece of chametz is the same identical chametz that the rodent took in. But all this is contingent on one premise, that bedikas chametz is the rabbanan. And that's where the Mishnah Berurah adds this part and provides of Dafka b'bitel. I want to be makil and say you don't need a secondary bedikah, a second time bedikah, because you found a piece of chametz. That's only because you've already done bitel. And once you've done bitel, the entire enterprise of bedikah is only the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan are going to say, you know what? A piece went in? Just find a piece. And we'll assume it's the same piece. Avon below bitel? Then bedika becomes doraisa. The Torah says that you've got to clean out your chametz. Hu milsa doraisa is lo tanlin lahakel. There's no din that we can assume that this is the piece that went in, because maybe other pieces went in, and therefore we have to be machmir because he didn't do bittul. Again, is it a big deal? It's not such a big deal. Just ask him to do bittul. Take him all of about 5 seconds just to say all my chametz is bottom. But he's got to do so, because if he hasn't recited his bittul, then tzrichim livdol kadayis kol habayis. He has a chiyuv bedika doraisa, and we're not going to use tailinon and all sorts of premises to be makil when it comes to a mitzvah doraisa. V'talinon tezeu akikar sheichnes ha'achbar dafka bebitul avlo b'defin lo talin lahakel who tzrichim livdol kadayis kol habayis imlo sheikiru shezeh shenotal ha'achbar. On a doraisa level, the only thing that could relieve you of your chiyuv bedika is the black with white polka dots. If you have an absolute demarcation, an identifying mark that clearly proves that the chametz that you found is the same chametz that the Akra took in, then even on a doraisa level without bittul, we can rely that this is the piece that went in. But in the absence of any identifying mark, you need tailina, and you need some sort of a premise and assumption that this is the same piece. You found the piece that went in. That's not going to work for a doraisa before bittul. Now recite your bittul. Reduce the entire enterprise to a drabbanan, and the drabbanan tailinan that this is the kikar. This kikar that you found is the identical kikar that the achbar took in to the house.
How big is this kikar that we're talking about?
Well, it depends. If you want to assume that the achbar ate up the kikar, then you want to tell me that this kikar is relatively small. But as we saw before, in the name of the Bach, even if the kikar is small, we still don't assume that this kikar was eaten, because we don't know. We don't know if it was eaten until we find the kikar. Number gimel. What happens if the akra goes in and now the man owning the house follows the akra and he finds crumbs? And these crumbs, if you combine them, they equal the volume of the kikar that was taken into the house. No deal. Because an akbar doesn't make crumbs. You're not finding the piece that the akbar took in. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kolshkinim Hayurak Ma'at Perurim, and how much more so if the volume of the Perurim of these crumbs don't even equal the size of the kikar, is Bavari Lo Talinon, we cannot assume Sha'acholo that this rodent ate the other half the balance of this kikar, Benofel Min Peru Beis Achilos. So the Chiddush here is that even if the Perurim total the volume of that kikar, nevertheless, what you're looking at is not the piece of bread that the Achbar took in. You have to do another bedikah. And why? Because Ein Darko Shal Achbar Lefar. Now we're up to the Mishnah Berurah on page 19, number Dalit, on the first of the lines. He says, Tzorach Lachzor V'Livtok Dafka Kishra Inu Achbar Nichnasim Chometz Aval Motza Stam Chometz B'Bayis Achar HaBedika Ein Tzorach Lachzor V'Livtok Kol HaBayis B'Shvil Zeh. Here's another Gevaldige Kula that we find here in the Mishnah Berurah. Today is Kula Day. It's a cool day. Kula. And the Mishnah Berurah establishes that if chametz went into the house and you found the chametz, but you didn't see an achbar taking the chametz into the house, then just find that one single piece of chametz. You found the chametz. I mean, that's the whole issue. If I find chametz after my bedikah, does that mean that I did a lousy bedikah? It was unreliable. I have to redo my bedikah. Maybe there's all other chametz that I didn't find. No. If you found a piece of chametz, you have to assume that chametz somehow eluded you in the bedikah. You found that piece, you're okay. Because the cheskas bodrik, the assumption that the house had a bedikah, is still valid, even if, heaven forbid, you missed one piece. Our whole issue here is because the achbar is holding on to chametz in its mouth. That gives me room to be concerned. That sets off the red button here. Because the achbar brought the chametz into the house and hid the chametz. And where is that chametz? But if you find a piece of chametz in your house after bedika, you're okay. Because it just simply means you missed the piece. Now you found it, you rectified, you did, you know, Hashem v'gadnu, I missed the piece, but I set the record straight. But with an achbar, now we're in trouble. Where did the achbar hide that chametz? Now, again, we have to assume and re-emphasize the first kula of the Mishnah Berurah, and that is in Motza Kikar Sholem on the previous page, Ein Tzorach Bedika. If you do find one piece, so imagine he starts his bedika a second round, and the bedika normally would take him an hour. But after 15 minutes, lo and behold, he found a piece of bread. At that point, he could stop. And he could bench Gomil. And he could say, God, thank you for saving me from another 45 minutes on Erev Pesach of Bedikah. You know, I'm running out of candles. No, I mean, really, the candle burnt down to my fingers in the first Bedikah. Now I take another candle and I do a second Bedikah. Like, give it a break, you know, save me at some point. So the Mishnah Berurah has two coolers over here. Cooler number one is that if you found a piece of bread, you can assume that's the bread that the rodent took in, and after 15 minutes, you can celebrate. No need to finish your bedikah. And the second cooler of the Mishnah Berurah is that if you find chametz after your bedikah, you're okay. The bedikah still remains a valid halachic bedikah, and the halacha recognizes that you don't need another bedikah, just get rid of this one piece of chametz that you found. And the whole issue of our simon is only when it's an achbar that brought in the chametz. You saw the achbar carrying the chametz in his mouth, and now you can't find that chametz, now you need another bedikah. Now, in number hey, in the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham says that when you see the word bias, don't assume it means the entire house with all its rooms, but rather it means cheder. Bias equals cheder. The Ein Tzorach Bedikah El Oso Cheder Shoraidu Shenichnas L'Sham. Another Gevaldige Kula. This is Kula number three. That even in an event that we require you to do a repeat Bedikah, it's only on that one room, which is considered a bias unto itself, where you saw the Achbar going in with chametz. But you don't have to check all the other rooms in the house. Aval shar chadorim apsuchim li'oso cheder Talin and Lahakil. So vis-a-vis all the other rooms, we have a right to be Tola Lahakil. And we assume there's no Chametz there. The Ein Tzarech Lebodkam in Bitel Chemtzo. Again, we have to reduce Bedikas Chametz from a Doraisa to Rabbanan through Bitel. Osha Haya Kikar Katan. Or alternatively, if the volume of the Kikar was very small. Now, what's the significance of the fact that the Kikar is Katan? Let's just think about that. Oh, Shehoya HaKikar Katan.
Where do you see that?
We're in number Hey.
Yes, I'm there.
And it's, let's say, two lines up before the end of Hey. Does that help you?
Oh,
Shehoya HaKikar Katan. So he says, Ein Tzarech Lebodkam. He doesn't have to check the other rooms in the house because he did Bittul. Oh, Shehoya HaKikar Katan. So what's the significance of the fact that the Kikar is a small volume, a limited volume? And that's the Kikar that you saw going into the house. But you saw it going into one specific cheder. Oh, I see. In other words, if the Kikar is katan, there's more of a reason for Tliya to assume that the Achra would have eaten up the Kikar. So if you ask me, why don't I have to do a B'dika on the rest of the house? I'm only chayv a B'dika on this particular room where the Chametz went in, and I saw the Achra take it in. So number one, we're going to say, well, it's the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon are not going to require you to undermine the Chazakah of Baduk on the entire house, just on this room, because this room is considered a house unto itself, it's independent. And another way of understanding it is if the Kikar is Katan, then once again we have more of a reason to assume that the Kikar was consumed, and therefore it's enough to check that room, that single room where the Kikar went in.
So you'd have to know which Kikar it was to know that it was a small Kikar to begin with.
Right, but again, we're talking about a case where you saw the Akbar.
You actually saw it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you didn't see the Akbar, then you just have to find one piece.
Off, right.
Ah, you're raising an interesting question, though. What would be in the case where you found a piece of Chametz after your Bedika, you didn't see an Akbar take it in, and we established the Gevalda Gekula that in such a case, all you have to do is find one piece of bread, and that's it. Then you can, Shalom Al Yisrael, you can terminate your bedika. Well, what would be in a case where you found a piece of chametz after bedika in one particular room? Would it be enough just to simply check that one single room? Or do you have to check the entire house?
Which it references here.
He's talking here about the case where you saw the Achbar go into the house, and specifically into one particular room, and you have to go and check in that room. But there's no chiv to check in the other rooms in the house. What would be in a case where you found chametz? Not that you saw the chametz go in, but you found chametz in one room. Now that seems to indicate that you had a faulty bedika. Maybe you should be looking in all the rooms in the house. But I think that's wrong. I mean, intuitively, I would say that even in the case where you found a piece of chametz, that only undermines the status of bias baduk vis-a-vis the room. It does not, how should I say, spill over
and invalidate your entire bedika.
Right, and envelop the entire house. The rest of the house does not need bedika. Again, it's very hard for us to conceptualize this and get used to this, that each cheder is a bias onto itself.
No, but that's how we do our bedika at home, don't we? I mean, when we had small kids, we would say, okay, no more food in the bedrooms, no more food up the steps, no more. I mean, we would limit it like that so that we would know. That's exactly how we prepare our
Right,
homes.
But let's say you finish your bedika, hours and hours later, lo and behold, somebody raises their hand and say, Abba, I found a piece of chametz. You missed it. So what's the deal at this point? Obviously he has to find one piece now. And that was the coolie. He just has to find one piece. But where does he look for that one piece?
Right.
Does he look in that room where Yankel Berel said, Abba, that's where I found the kikar? Or do we assume that once his bedika is faulty, then maybe we should open up a Pandora's box and say, well, now redo the bedika throughout the house until you find that one piece. Or do we say, no, you're going to find that one piece in that room because the faulty bedika was done in that. Maybe he was tarud, you know, and when he got to that room, for some reason he had an emergency long distance call and it's on his mind and he found out some news and about his investments or about a football game and the
school.
Well,
then bedika was not good because he was totally distracted during the bedika. He didn't...
But I'm saying, do I have the right to say no? He was only distracted when he did the bedika on that room. Meaning the fact that we found the chametz in that room only undermines the status of bedika vis-a-vis that room because every room is a bias. I don't have to check the other room because that other room has the status of a bias, which is baduk. I did the bedika in that room. Or should we say no? Let's look at the gavra and say, well, you know, he's not a reliable bodek, and let's look in all the rooms. In the case of a kikar, befi, achbar, the achbar was seen going in. So then just check that room where the achbar went into, and if you can find one piece of chametz, you can assume that that's the piece of chametz that the achbar took in. In the case where you found a piece of chametz, I'm not sure if you would just check in that room or you would have to check the entire house. I just simply don't know. I didn't see the Mishnah Berurah addressing that explicitly. But let's go back and see if maybe we could be dyke in the language. We weren't so sensitive. He says the following. Fine. Where is this? So Dafka, here it is. Nomad Dalek. He says, Dafka Shara'inu Achbar Nichnas Im Chametz. Right, and then we're going to assume that the Achbar did not consume that Chametz, and therefore we have to find that Chametz.
It says, Insarech Lachzor, although they call him Bayis.
Avol Motza Stam Chametz Bibayis Acher. I'm sorry. Avol Motza Stam Chametz Babayis Acher Bidikoso. Ain't sort of a livdok kol habayis bishvil zeh. But again, that means that he has the chametz under control. In other words, they found one piece and he has that piece in his bag. You know what I'm saying? He captured that piece of chametz. Captured the flam, captured the chametz. That's what he did. So he's got that chametz, and now he destroys that chametz. He's okay because there's no reason to open up a box of chametz and say this chametz spread throughout the house. But what happens if he didn't find a piece of chametz? Correct? Let's say, for example, the child or the adult, whoever it was, says, Abba, we found a piece of chametz. Well, where is that chametz? Well, I'll tell you where we found it, but we don't have it right now. The chametz somehow got lost. In that case, I'm suspicious that maybe you'd have to check the entire house. I don't know. It's not 100% clear. The Mishnah Berurah is addressing a case where they found a piece of chametz. Somebody raised their hand and said, Abba, look at this piece of chametz that I found. And in that case, he doesn't have to recheck the house because there's one piece of chametz and we have it. We found it. It's under lock and key. But what happens if he doesn't have the chametz? You know, let's say guy...
How does he know that there's only one piece?
How does he know there's only one piece? Well, he finds one piece. Fine. Let's assume that that's the same piece that got lost. But where is he looking and where is he required to look for that one piece? Is it enough that he looks in one room? Again, I would like to be making it, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm just raising the issue. Now, we said that in the case of an achbar, the fact that you found pirurim, crumbs, that's not going to help you over here. Why? Because ein darko shel achbar lefare. Is that a psychological principle that applies to every single animal, or is that specifically a case of a mouse?
Well, again, you're distinguishing the mouse from the tinok.
Right, but what about other animals? Says the Mishnah Berurah number vav, and he's quoting here the Shita the Bach again, that hu adin kelev, that applies to a dog as well.
O tarnagol.
You know, I didn't understand that. I thought that, you know, we're learning the, you know, psychology of a mouse 1.1. That's the course, the name of the course. And I'm going to assume that ein darko shel achbar lefar. But other animals, maybe they leave crumbs behind. No, no, no. To the same extent that a mouse would not break down the chametz into little crumbs, so too a dog or a chicken is aimed darko lefarer.
This would have been his opportunity to bring an animal that it would be darko lefarer, but he didn't. He brought other examples like the mouse.
Well, no, the other example that's aimed at, that would be darko lefarer would be the tinok.
So only the tinok, right. But here,
so that implies that any other animal would fit. Right. But on the other hand, he only mentions the achbar. So the bach is a big chiddush here, that the same chumra that applies to the achbar, that means you cannot assume that the achbar ate up the kikar, that applies to any other animal as well. You cannot assume that the animal ate up the achbar. So the word achbar here is just a secret code word representing all of the animals. It's not the achbar, it's not a special din in achbar, it's not a psychology of the mouse, but it applies to animals as well. That they don't usually leave crumbs behind. So the fact that you found crumbs doesn't in any way indicate that you've located that piece of chometz which the kelev or the tarnagolas took into the house.
And right, well, and people don't put a tarnagol or a kelev in their. I mean, back then, I don't know, did they have tarnagol or kelev in their house? No, they would control those a little better. The akbar is not a controlled. I think this strengthens the position.
Again, you're saying that the kelev is more controlled. So how does that...
In terms of letting it into your house. The mouse you can't keep out of your house.
No, I understand. I'm asking you the following. Therefore what? Are you telling me that because I have surveillance and I have sort of... I dominate or I control the dog, therefore what? Is that a kulan bedika or is that a chumra bedika? That's what I'm trying to figure out. You're saying that the achbar, we were very machmir in the case of the achbar because even if we found the crumbs, we still don't know where that piece of chametz is that was taken into the house by the achbar. We need another bedika to find that piece of chametz. What about the case of a dog, which is much more under my surveillance? I see the dog going into my house with chametz. Because I have more control over the dog, therefore what? I don't have to do another bedika. I do have to do a bedika. I'm not sure why that psychology is relevant.
You're right. Once you see the dog go into your house,
when I learn the Simon, I get so confused when people, they give all sorts of explanations, but if I don't cap why it's relevant, I get so sidetracked. It happened to me last night. I gave a shiur, and we were talking about listening to sounds and being able to discern those sounds. And she hit me with a question from shofar. I mean, I'm not that good at that. I can't speak about shofar when I'm not talking about shofar. I'm talking about listening to the sounds of Megillas Esther. Let's say, when we get to shofar. No, so, for example, we were talking about the number 101, and we had a whole shiur last night. I don't know if you're curious to hear this, that in Parshas Tetzaveh, which we're going to read in Mitzvah Shem in 2 days around, 3 days around, there are 101 psukim. So we're talking about the significance of the number 101. So they asked me about shofar. As far as I know, we only listened to 100 kolos of shofar. Am I wrong about that? So I got so disheveled in the midst of shiur. Now, if you tell me about the dog,
I only want to talk about these animals. So here, if you're saying you saw the dog bring the key card into the house, but ain't darko lefarer, I got it.
He's saying that ain't darko lefarer, meaning that a dog will eat the entire piece of chametz.
I got it.
Just like the achbar will. And again, I'm telling you, it's a big chiddush because the mechaber only mentions an achbar. There's a gray area between the achbar and the tinok, and I don't know what the status of that gray area is, the twilight zone. Is it all the other animals are like the achbar, or all the other animals are like the tinok? Maybe there's a special psychology in the case of achbar that some of the achbar takes the kikar and eats it in one fell swoop without leaving crumbs.
The brewer is bringing these other examples.
Again, I just don't know where he knows this from. I mean, I know he knows it from the Bach, but where did the Bach know it from? The Bach was a century after the Mechaber. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So how did the Bach know this? I would have read the Mechaber differently. I would have said that maybe the Mechaber is talking about an Achbar, But you know, we could do a scientific study. You know, what animals eat and leave crumbs behind? I mean, let's say we had a cat here. I'm going to give him a piece of chametz. Is the cat going to leave crumbs behind? If you would ask me, I would say yes. But I don't have any proof. I never did a scientific study. The last time I owned a cat was in a different Gilgul. You understand what I mean? In this Gilgul, as Azariah Berzon, I never owned a cat. In fact, I remember one time I stole the Afikoman. I said, "Dad, I'm going to give you back the Afikoman if I can buy a cat." He said, "No deal. We don't let cats into our house." Now, Dr. Seuss was a big fan of cats, so he has a cat with a hat. And the cat is eating chametz. Is it in the house? Where is the, you remember, you're not a Bucky and Dr. Seuss?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? There's a whole book about the cat and the mouse, and does the cat go into the house, and the mouse into the house, and the louse into this, and that. It's a beautiful book. I remember even the picture.
He's not connected to reality, though. And here we have reality.
No proof from Dr. Seuss.
No.
We have to ask the psychologists. So what happens now in Se'if Katan Zayin, in the Mishnah Berurah, he says the following: Matzah Pirurin. Let's again refresh our memory. In the case of the Achbar, and I'm sorry. So let's talk about the case of the Tinok.
This is the Tinok,
right? So now the Tinok is on the agenda, and we find Pirurin. And if that be the case, the Mechaber paskins, Eino Tzorech Lachzor V'Livdok, because we found Pirurim. Now, wait a minute. If the Pirurim don't equal the volume of the Kikar, where's the rest of the Kikar? We're going to have to assume the child ate the rest of the Kikar. Fine. That's what we're going to assume. A plus B. Meaning we had the Kikar, most of which, let's say, was eaten by the child. And now we have the Pirurim's, the rest of the Kikar. And a child makes pirurim. The child crumbles up its food, its bread. Zok the Mishnah Berurah in Zayin Dafka be ofen zeh shematza pirurim. Oh, raglayim ledor shacholo. In other words, where did these pirurim come from? Ah, they probably came from the tino, because darko shel tino klafari. Avolo matza pirurim. What if he's looking for the chametz that the child took in and he doesn't find anything? He doesn't find pirurim. Well, we just finished saying that darko shel tino kliachlo. A child cheskoso shachlo. Oh, no. Now he's going to press the old button of Ein Safik Motzav Devada. He knows that the chametz went in. He saw the child bringing the chametz. He cannot find the chametz. Maybe the child ate up the chametz. Maybe he didn't. Vavada Mason. Can you guarantee, take a shmua on a Nikita Sefes, that the child ate up the chametz? Oh no, my friend, you're in trouble. You have to do another bedik. That's why we have to be very careful about our chametz, because the children, if they're young children, they'll grab that chametz. I have one granddaughter, you know, if there's any piece of cake anywhere, she smells it out. I put it on a high ledge, she climbs up and finds it. And now the question is, did she eat it? Well, she'll eventually eat it, but I don't know if she ate it. Because ain't suffering most of the bad, sorry, lachzor v'livdok also cheddeshara shenichle shamatinok. The child went into a room. I can't find the kikar. I have to look for that kikar and do another bedik on that room until I find that kikar. And in the case where I find pirurim, that's a different story. Where did this pirurim come from? Because the tinok started eating up the bread and left some crumbs in the floor. And that gives me a reasonable assumption that the child ate up the balance of the kikar here, the pirurim, and now we're doing okay.
Well, it says whether the tinok has das or doesn't have das, though. It depends. It's two different cases.
Wow, Phil, you're always a step ahead of me. I'm just working up to the word vidafka. I'm sweating it out.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't mind that you're ahead of me. I just have to slow down and now comprehend.
I'm sorry.
He's saying that the following is true. If I find pirurim, then I can assume that the child ate the chametz. If I don't find pirurim, I have no right to assume that's called ain sofik motzav devada. I know that the chametz went in, I don't know if it went out, if it was consumed. Mm-hmm. But if I find pirurim, now I assume for sure that the kiko was eaten up by the tinuk. Why? Because why did I only find pirurim? And I only found a limited volume of pirurim. Where are the rest of the pirurim? So first I answer the question, well, where did these pirurim come from? And the answer, they came from the kika that the tinok was holding. Now I ask myself, well, where are the balance of the kika? Because I only found, you know, 20% of the kika. And the answer is, the child must have eaten the rest of the kika. And when we say it must have eaten, that creates a certainty, and then it's vadai, motzvidei vadai. Then the chametz went in, and the chametz is out. It doesn't exist anymore. You're not going to have to find the chametz because it doesn't exist. However, let's say the child is mature enough to tell me what happened. You know, he can tell me the whole story. Another kula here, in this case, the Bogan Avram, that we can trust the tinuk. Now, how old is this tinuk? He says, Yeshbo Das. Is that a 3-year-old? Is that a 9-year-old? Usually, when we differentiate or categorize children into two different distinct categories, we talk about what's called higia lechinuch, that we have an obligation to compel the child to do mitzvahs because he reached that age of maturity for chinuch. The general assumption is that that age is 9 years old. Now, it depends on each mitzvah. Every mitzvah is a little different. For example, in the case of tefillin, we have to really wait till the child is much more mature because we have to worry about kedushas tefillin. In the case of lulav, we might also have to wait for an older age because we need what's called nanuim, which is very complicated. In the case of sukkah, for example, we can talk about a young child that's very, very young, maybe even less than 9, and we can already train the child to eat in the sukkah. In the case of matzah, maybe the child is capable of eating matzah, and that's old enough for the mitzvah of matzah. Every mitzvah is a little bit different as to what the age of chinuch is. So I don't know when he says yesh bodas or ein bodas, whether we could rely on the child who testifies that the chametz is gone, it was eaten. Well, what is the maturity level of das? Is it a 6-year-old? Is it a 3-year-old? Is it a 9-year-old? Etc., etc., etc. Maybe it depends on the child and the capability of the child. I don't know.
Oh, but that's a halachic concept. It's not just finding that that's here.
Interesting. I don't know. You're saying something beautiful. I just don't know. Is it a halachic concept? When he says das, is that a halachic concept? I'm tempted to think, and again, this is antithetical to what I usually say, that in this case, we're not talking about halachic das. We're talking about simple reality, simple maturity. Is the child mature? You can know that certain children are so immature because they're young, not because they're chaschol retarded, but they'll say anything. You know, you can't trust them on anything. And then they get to a certain maturity level and they can be trusted. Again, can you trust them with $1 million? I wouldn't say so.
And then every child is different because one child is more mature than the other, even at the age of 3.
That's why I'm saying I don't think that this concept of das is a halachic concept. Okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I can't prove it to you.
Okay.
At what point can I rely on the child to tell me that the chametz is gone? I don't know.
Okay. I buy it.
Now, in the case of a tinok, we're going to say that if we found pirurim, the balance of this kika was eaten by the child because cheskoso she'acholo. And here the Mishnah Berurah has another kula. It's amazing, the list of kulas that we're encountering today. And that is afilu lo bitlo. We're talking about chametz d'oraisa now. There was no bitl. The Torah says you got to get rid of your chametz. And we saw the child bring chametz into the house. And now we found pirurim. And we're going to assume that the balance of the bread was eaten by the child. And that's going to allow me to alleviate me of any responsibility and liability on a d'oraisa level, a afilu lo bitlo. That's a gevaldik chiddush. He doesn't pin it on any particular achron. He just says it in a general sense, achronim, anonymous group of achronim. And once again, if not for the Mishnah Berurah, I would have said he needs bitl. Because again, you want to get into a vadai situation that the chametz was consumed. Otherwise, you have chametz in your possession, which you own, and it was no bitl. And that's a violation of two lavim d'oraisa by Rabbi Matzah. So you can tell me, well, the child is darko lechel. Yeah, okay, but this child was not in the mood. This child was full from lunch or breakfast and didn't eat the piece of bread. No. You found pirurim. Where's the rest of the bread? The child was hungry, and the child would have eaten the rest of the bread. You don't even have to bother checking that one single room where the child entered. You have such a reliability on the assumption that the child ate the chametz that even if you didn't have bittul, even if you only found pirurim to the size, to the measure of part of the chametz, you have to assume, and you're allowed to assume. Again, if you want to be a machmir, I would say, here's a case where I would actually advocate being a little bit more careful about it. You didn't do bittul, you have a suffix d'oraisa here, you don't know for sure that the child... Go ahead and do another medina.
I would do it, yeah.
That's what I would do in this case. Derech atinok lefarno v'tes, uledei azu, einaf gemina. There's no difference. Beinim hoyu rak pirurim, beinim hoyu kidei kol kikar. In other words, we're about to embark on the sheet of the Ran. The Ran is going to say that we can only be mekil if you found the volume of pirurim, which equals to the size of the kikar. But now we're on the first sheet, the lakula, and according to that sheet, there's no difference between the size of the pirurim, the volume of the pirurim, and whether it's equal to the size of the kikar, whether it's not. In all cases, you have a right to assume that whatever was left behind, other than the pirurim, was eaten by the tinuk. And now, we're ready for the Yesh Omrim. Okay, we won't call it the Ran, we'll call it the Yesh Omrim. And this is the Machmir Shita, that it all depends how many, what volume of pirurim did you locate. She'im Eina Pirurim, if you didn't find enough pirurim, ilokein chayshin and shemeshir atinok, we're worried about the possibility that maybe there's more here than meets the eye, meaning there's a bunch of a significant part of the chametz that wasn't eaten, and therefore tzarich lachzor l'imta. For ikar kesvar rishona, another kula. Wow, this is unbelievable. So atypical. We're going to be mekil like the first svara, even if you didn't find that much of a substance of a volume of crumbs. We can assume that the balance was eaten by the tinum. Ah, imlo bittel. If there was no bittel, now we just finished saying in number ches that ches kosa shalcha afilu lo bittlo. So what's he about to present us with now? He's quoting the Rav Shulchan Aruch. He says, ah, imlo bittel ukvar over asman. Now, what happens if you found the child going into the house or into one room of the house with chametz, and it's after Shas Isur chametz? There's no possibility of bittul now. Ein yochel levatel. Once the hour of Isur sets in, there's no longer bittul. Is then he says yesh lahachmir lachzor v'livdok. Now this I don't understand, because before Nova Chesi said that has kosu shacholo afilu lo bitlo, and now he's saying, now he's going according to now which shita he says he just finished saying va'ikar kesfar rishon, so he's accepting the first shita. Now in the context of the first shita we said has kosu shacholo, so why is he telling you now that if there's no bitlo and there's no possibility until he has to go ahead and do another bedikah?
You have to finish the Mishnah Berura.
Ain't sarach lachzor v'livdok dafka im lo bitel far over asman shein yochel levatel yesh lachmir lachzor v'livdok.
Tells us why.
Just one second. Let me just, if you don't mind, I'm just trying to digest this. He first told us in number ches that even in the absence of bittul, we can rely on the fact that the child ate the kikar. That was what he told us in number ches. The child eats, that's what we call ches kasu shacholo, fine. And even if there was no bittul now, he's saying that we passing like the Svar Rishona, that's Yudalev, but nevertheless, if kvar over zman and there's no possibility of bittul, sheish lahachmir lachsov livdok. One second, how could that be? Yesh lahachmir lachsov vig. He just finished telling us cheskaso shacholo. You know what I think he's saying here? That we have two shitos, and they are polar extremes. One lechumra, one lekula. And now, although we're going to paskin the ikar halacha, like the mekilim, but now that we've seen that there's another shita that was machmir, we're going to have to find a middle ground. And the middle ground is going to be bittul. So when he says in Sifkat and Ches that has kosu shachol afilu lo bitlo, that's only according to that particular mandiyomer. We will accept that mandiyomer, but we're going to mitigate it when we have the second mandiyomer, the Ran, who's going to say that, well, you didn't find enough pirur. So therefore, even if you were mevatel your chametz, you have to do another bedik. So we're not going to go as far as the Ran is concerned, but we're going to worry about the Ran in a case where there was no bitlo. And we're going to insist that he does bittul because we want to avoid at all costs the doraisa, a violation, a possibility of a violation of a doraisa. So even though we accepted the svar rishona, that's true in the case where there's bittul. But if there was no bittul, and to our disappointment, we only found X amount of volume of the pirur, we didn't find the whole kikar, then we're going to require another bittul. I think that's what's going on here, because otherwise there's an open contradiction here between what he says in Ches and what he's writing in Yud Aleph. He didn't forget two lines earlier. Kosav HaMakor Chaim, that's the Nesivus, he says, the Akum Shenichtas in Chomis Bebayis Baduk Ain't Tzorech Lachzor V'Livdok HaBayis. In other words, we don't assume that a guy would have taken chametz into your house and just to trip you up deliberately would have hidden the chametz somewhere under the rafters. You know, that's not the darko shel akum. And when we require another bdika, repeat bdika, that's only in the case of akbar v'tino, because we're afraid that they may have hidden the chametz somewhere. We have to find where they hid it. You know, it's a hide and seek situation. He's not going to hide the chametz. Either he'll eat the chametz or he'll take it back home to his house. So let's just see if we could quickly finish the siman. If you have to go, please feel free to go. It'll take me another 5 minutes. He says the fine. Kizayis chametz lamala ala korah. I see on top of the rafter, I have to get a ladder to bring down this chametz, but it's up there. And it's a kizayis. It's a serious amount of chametz. When it's an extra tirchei, he's going to have to bring a ladder, climb up the ladder, and bring down this chametz. We're afraid. The chametz is not so secure on the rafter. It may fall, and who knows, he might come to eat it, forgetting that it's Pesach. In other words, if a chametz is on a high ledge, it might fall on its own. And then we're in trouble. But if it's down in a bar, don't have to take a sulam to go down to the subterranean bar, because it's not going to fall. I mean, if, you know, it's not going to fly up, you know, against the law of gravity. All you need is bit. So the Mishnah Berurah in Yud Beis adds the following. You don't have to go through this whole tircha and climb up to the top of your rafters with a ladder, and all you need is bit. But Yesh Mefak Bekim Bazeh, he quotes another Shita in the Shaar Tzion, he mentions the Prima Gadim, and the Prima Gadim wants to be Machayev you to get the chametz down from the rafter and take a ladder and so forth, even if it's less than a kizayis. The first Shita, which seems to be indicated by the Machaber, is Mekim, because what are the chances that you'll want to eat this chametz, or maybe if we're worried about Bayirabai Matzi, well, it's less than a kizayis in any event. Although I wouldn't say that Bayirabai Matzi is the issue here, because in any event, we're going to require that he is mevatel his chametz. So that's going to cover him and protect him from violation of Bayirabai Matzi. The problem is he might come to eat it. What difference does it make? The answer is that in order to be chayiv kares for eating chametz, you have to eat a kezayis worth. So even in the worst case scenario, which chas v'sholom, he would eat this piece that fell down from a raft on Pesach, since it's less than a kezayis, and he would not therefore violate the chayiv kares, we could be making it in terms of bedikah. We're going to say just be mevatel, you don't have to climb up and bring it down. Mechayiv and also in Yud Gimel, afilu no delo kodem zman isuro. The Ozma Hani Bittel, Shalo Yavra al Bayro Bayimotse, Afilu Hochi, Hitzvihura, Bunalo Ridu, Lavar, Shemi Yipo, Betoch, Pesman, Akor, Yomali Othlo. We're not going to cover our bases with Bayro Bayimotse. We're afraid about Achila. It might fall down and they'll eat it inadvertently, Goshkane. No, the Loliachan's money, Survalo Bittel, Mikoda, Shuvlo Mani Bittel, Vali Tzorchlo Ridu, Lavaro. If there's a problem with Bayro Bayimotse, and he found chametz after Shasi Surah, there's no way, no how that he can be mevatel the chametz. He's got to climb up, get the chametz, and destroy it. But Bar says the Mishnah Berurah, Yidal Afilu Ein Bo Mayim. You know, you might think that the bottom of the bar is wet, and therefore the chametz became fashimeled. No, even if there's a dry bottom to this bar, nevertheless, in Darkel Ishtamish Shom, Kal Hashanah Mechuyiv La'lo Selavar. Here's a chumrah in the name of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, which is absolutely logical, it's compelling, that if he goes down to the bar during the entire year, that becomes a mokvash machnisim of chametz, then for sure he has to get rid of any chametz on the bottom of the bar. But if it's a bar that he generally doesn't use for storage, so he doesn't go down there, then mevat lo b'libo, all he has to do is be mevat dafka, says the Mishnah Berurah Tesvav, Nafal Shom Me'elov. It fell on its own. The Chashvina like the Chometz Shenafal of Mapolis, it's Chometz that's out of his realm. It's not accessible. Aval Lahatmin the Yadayim, if he wants to take Chometz and deliberately hide it on the bottom of the bar, and then he'll pick it up after Pesach, also. And in this case, even Bittel won't help, because that's called Bal Yatmin. When he hides his Chometz, he's violates Bal Yerovay Matzot Tzoklo Tzio Levaro V'Yudal. Dayo, he reiterates what we saw before, that if he finds the chametz in the bottom of the bar and it's after Shasi Sura, there's no longer a possibility of bittul, then he has to destroy it for another reason, not because of Shevi Yom Halacha, it's not going to fall from the bottom of the bar against the law of gravity, but simply because he violates Bal Yerovay volume. So let's just make a note of where we're up to.
Okay.
We can make a siyum on Tov Lamed Ches, which is number 438, and tomorrow Blineta will do 400. And, oh, tomorrow's the Chomish Ches, you're right.
Chomish, Parsha.
Parsha.